Radio Prague News. The finance minister has said he will file a criminal complaint against an Ostrava hospital formerly managed by the current health minister. Four Czech nationals have been arrested for cocaine smuggling by the Spanish police, and unemployment dropped to 7.1% in October. Finance Minister Andrej Babiš has said he will file a criminal complaint against an Ostrava hospital formerly managed by the current health minister Svatopluk Němeček. Mr. Babiš claims the hospital squandered large amounts of public funds. The finance minister and health minister are locked in a highly publicized dispute, with Mr. Babiš accusing Mr. Němeček of poor management of the health sector, and Mr. Němeček saying that the finance minister uses media owned by his company Agrofert to damage his reputation. The row between the two members of cabinet is to be debated at a special meeting of the ruling coalition this week. Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka has expressed regret that his colleagues in cabinet are fighting out their differences in the media. The Spanish police has reported to have arrested four Czech nationals caught smuggling 369 kilograms of cocaine on a boat heading for the Canary Islands. The boat was sailing from South America under a Czech flag, and the drugs were hidden in a number of secret compartments on the boat. The four offered little resistance, and the boat was towed to port in Las Palmas. The police have confirmed receiving a fresh threat from the blackmailers who threatened to spread the Ebola virus in public places if they did not receive 1 million euros from the state. According to police experts on the case, the perpetrators are very likely sophisticated hackers who have proved extremely clever at covering up their tracks and do not actually have the means to carry out their threat. Police specialists are cooperating on the case with foreign experts. If caught and convicted, the blackmailers could face up to 12 years in jail. President Miloš Zeman has begun a three-day visit to Moravia and Silesia. On Monday, he met with the mayor of Ostrava and local politicians to debate the problems of the region, among which are high unemployment and severe air pollution. The president is due to meet with members of the public and visit some of the region's leading companies, among them the Tatra truck maker in Koprivnice. Unemployment in the Czech Republic dropped by 0.2 percentage points month on month to 7.1% in October, the Labour Office said on Monday. The situation on the labour market is influenced, among other things, by the economic revival and seasonal work in gastronomy, construction, tourism and agriculture. In the coming months, unemployment is expected to stagnate or grow moderately, with a gradual decrease in seasonal work and ending of fixed-time work contracts, the Labour Office said. The opening of Prague's newly completed Tunnel Blanca, scheduled for December the 2nd, may have to be postponed due to a slide in the schedule of the final technology tests, the Daily Mladá Fronta Dnes reports. The paper says that while the city council has not yet announced a delay, the tests started on Friday and, according to the contract signed, are to last for a period of 55 days. The city's former mayor, Bohuslav Svoboda, has criticized the new city council for having dragged its feet on issues a public tender for the company which would undertake the tests. Deputy Mayor Jiří Noza told the Daily that the company in question was working around the clock to try to meet the deadline. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days should be clear to partly cloudy, with day temperatures between 9 and 13 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Ruth Franíková. Coming up in today's program, we look at the new anthem of the Czech police, which has provoked many critical reactions. We have the roundup of the latest Czech sports news. And in one-on-one, we meet Mirka Charlotte Kostelková of Eating Prague Tours, who discussed the current trend for insider city excursions.
It's linked with globalization, because everything is becoming so international, so it's harder to find the real local experience.
All that coming up, so please stay with us. The Czech police are to get a new anthem which would symbolise the successful transformation of the force over the last 25 years. But the demo version of the anthem leaked to the media has provoked many critical reactions, prompting the police president to put the project on hold. Jan Richter reports.
Dreaming is not enough in life is the name of a new police anthem that was to be officially unveiled next year. Composed by a conductor of the Prague Castle Guard and Police Orchestra, the song appeals on police officers to always want good and to overcome evil like a man, and urges that a greater effort you need to make in order to protect and help. The police presidium says this is a draft version of the anthem that has only been performed twice in public. But the song has come under fire from many in the police corps and beyond. Some argue it is too pompous for a police anthem. Others believe it sounds too much like a communist propaganda march from the 1950s. Since a recording of the new anthem appeared on the internet last week, hundreds of police officers have voiced complaints that the song would make them laughingstock. The largely negative reactions have prompted police president Tomáš Tuhý to ask for the anthem to be reworked, a move welcomed by the Interior Minister, among others. The anthem is one of the innovations to be introduced in the Czech police next year. These include new cars and some other equipment, as well as new uniforms. According to the police president, the new symbols should correspond with the spirit of a modern police force. Indeed, the Czech police have undergone a major transformation since the fall of communism 25 years ago and retain relatively high levels of public trust. That is quite unusual in the post-communist countries of Central and Eastern Europe, says sociologist Klára Pletita from the Czech Academy of Sciences.
I would say that people are proud to have police like we have now. When we compare people's attitudes towards the Czech police, we could say that Czech police is able to catch and deter offenders, that it works relatively well, and that they are quite satisfied with contacts with police officers.
Is this unusual for, you know, the post-communist countries in Central and Eastern Europe that people sort of traditionally or over many years, decades even, trust their police force?
Yeah, I would say yes, because in comparison with other Central and Eastern European countries, Czech police does relatively well. It's very well evaluated, for example, like police in Finland, Switzerland, Germany or Spain.
And are there any areas where the Czech police is perceived worse or does not do that well in comparison with police in other countries?
Yeah, definitely, but it's difficult to explain. We for example, found out that people do not believe that the police force shares the same values as the majority of population. It's difficult to interpret what people do mean, but for them it's still a little bit hidden box like in the communist times. They really don't know whether the change which occurred is only external or also internal. I mean, whether it could be said that the police force changed also from inside.
Klára Pletita of the Czech Academy of Sciences talking there to Jan Richter. But now Ian Willoughby has the roundup of the latest Czech sports news.
We start today with the fantastic news that the Czech women's tennis team have won the Fed Cup for a remarkable third time in 4 years. Led by double Wimbledon winner Petra Kvitová, the Czechs, who exited at the semi-final stage last season, overcame an ambitious German team in only 3 rubbers in Prague. Kvitová picked up the first point with a 6-2, 6-4 win over Andrea Petkovic, before on Sunday afternoon collecting the crucial third with a thrilling 7-6, 4-6, 6-4 defeat of Angelique Kerber, sparking scenes of joy at a packed O2 arena. The world number 4, who's still only 24, spoke to Czech radio moments after sealing another famous victory for the Czech Republic.
I think it was a really difficult game. It was a battle right till the end. Angie and I fought for every ball. We both gave our all. I don't know what decided it in the end. Perhaps it was something I found within myself, some emotion, some euphoria that I got not only from the crowd, but above all the team. I think that's what decided it. At the end of the day, it wasn't the tennis itself.
Alongside Petra Kvitová, the Czech team comprised Andrea Hlaváčková, Lucia Hradecká and Lucia Šafářová, while their non-playing captain was Petr Pála. There were reports on Monday that the ladies had partied into the wee small hours, with the defeated German team among those taking part in the celebrations. Athletics and Barbara Špotáková has been named Czech Athlete of the Year. The reigning Olympic javelin champion picked up the award for the 7th time in Prague on Saturday night, equaling a record jointly held by her trainer, the great Jan Železný, and Helena Fibingerová, a multiple world champion in the shot put. Špotáková has had a great 2014, winning at the European Championships for the first time in a comeback season after having her first child.
It surprised me how well things have gone since I gave birth. I was immediately back to my usual weight, and I got back in physical condition because we live in Brdy, so I can go running with a pram right from our home, which I still do to this day.
Finally, some football news, and it was an exciting weekend in the Czech top flight. Leaders Viktoria Plzeň suffered a shock defeat, losing 2-1 at Jihlava, while Sparta Prague beat Slovácko 2-0 away, leaving them only 1 point behind Plzeň. Meanwhile, the Czech national side have gathered for a brace of Euro 2016 qualifiers. They play Kazakhstan away on Thursday before a home match with surprise group leaders Iceland on Sunday. That's all the sport for today.
Ian Willoughby. Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Now, did you know that it's possible to enjoy great sauerkraut soup at the top of one Prague's many tours? Ian Willoughby has been finding out about that and numerous aspects of Czech cuisine from Mirka Charlotte Kostelková of Eating Prague Tours for this edition of One on One.
Tailored tours for relatively small groups with particular interests have become a trend in the tourism industry in recent times. One such excursion available here in the Czech capital goes under the banner Eating Prague Tours and sees locals taking visitors to restaurants, cafes and food stores and offering them an insider's insight into Czech cuisine. I discussed its services and more with Eating Prague Tours Operations Manager Mirka Charlotte Kostelková.
We try to find some interesting places like off the beaten track, something that people would not find themselves if they just came to Prague. We try to avoid places that are in the guidebooks, something more local, but that at the same time is interesting. It should be everything together, like food-wise, also the place itself, maybe the history. It's this kind of places.
And do you focus on more kind of high-end, better quality places or more for local people?
It's more for local people, but we try to find like good quality ingredients. And I think this is something that is changing currently in the Czech Republic, that maybe before people were wanting things that were really cheap and like a big quantity for a very cheap price, but now they are getting aware more and more about the quality of ingredients and the quality of food and also the preparation. So there are more and more new places that meet these standards, and so we try to do something local but with good quality at the same time.
And do you go to restaurants or do they come to you if they hear about what you're doing?
Well, we are still quite new, but so usually we approach them. But sometimes we get also some proposals.
I understand that you don't only go to restaurants. Where else do you take your tour groups?
We do a selection of different places. We want a tour that is really varied. So it can be restaurants, but also cafes, bistros, butcher shops, bakeries. We have a brewery. So, yeah, it's really like a variety of places.
And how many stops is there on the tour, usually?
At the moment, we have 7, but it might change, or we may have 6, maybe.
When you go on these tours, when you take people on these tours, what are the Czech foods that people are most interested in, your foreign visitors?
So I would say that some people, they have an idea about Czech cuisine, and other people, they just don't really know what to expect. Maybe they have heard about dumplings or about that meat is a big thing here, but usually they don't know much more. So, I would say they are surprised because we try to present them like open-faced sandwiches, for example, but we talk
chlebičky.
About the chlebičky, yes, like the traditional ones, but also like the modern version that we can find today. For example, we have an open-faced sandwich with a beetroot spread and creamy goat nut cheese and sweetened walnut on it. So they are surprised and they really like it. Then we have a sauerkraut soup. So, you know, some people, they don't like sauerkraut. They just imagine the sauerkraut they get with hot dogs back home. And then we had a lady, she was just thinking of sauerkraut floating in some kind of liquid. And she was thinking, oh, like sauerkraut soup. That is not really tasty. And then she just tasted it and she loved it. So most people are like this. They would not expect it to be something good. And then they are amazed. And it's actually their favorite food usually on the tour, like the sauerkraut.
As for the particular restaurants that you go to and other places, what are the most popular with your guests?
Well, again, it would be this place where we have the sauerkraut soup because it's in a tower that was built 600 years ago. It's a bell tower. And so people, they love the place and they love the food. So it's like both.
Where is that?
It's the St. Henry's Tower, like in Žižkavěš.
So there's good food in a Prague tower?
Yes.
Wow, I did not know that. Tell me, where are your favorite places to eat in Prague?
This is difficult to say because there are so many places. Well, actually, there's one place that I really like that we have on the tour. It's Czech Cafe, and I really enjoy their hořice rolls, hořické trubičky. They are amazing because they serve them with a hot, dark hot chocolate aside, and you just dip the rolls that are filled with fresh homemade whipped cream into this hot chocolate, and the combination of the still fresh whipped cream and of the hot chocolate is just amazing.
You're telling me that you've lived in France, you've traveled a lot, lived in different places in the world. How do you find that Czech food compares with food in other countries?
I would say the traditional Czech cuisine is true that it's not so light, so it's a little bit heavy sometimes. But I would say it's also changing. The eating habits of Czech people are changing due to the maybe before they were working more manually and now they are more in the office. So
they can't afford to eat all that heavy food.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe they eat it like once a week on the weekend when they go to visit their grandmother or something like this. But it's getting more international and lighter during the week. So I can enjoy also some international places. And
well, there are many great international restaurants in Prague. Have you considered introducing something similar but for non-Czech restaurants or non-Czech places in Prague?
Mm-hmm. Well, as for our company, I don't think that we are ready for this already because, well, we are a young company. But I think that in general, like an idea of an ethnic tour, for example, would be interesting, or maybe just like a alternative health tour would be nice because there are so many vegetarian places and even raw food is like a new trend. There are maybe 7 raw food restaurants in Prague at the moment, which is quite a lot.
And generally speaking, as somebody who has traveled a lot, how do you find the standard of restaurants in Prague in terms of both what they serve and the price?
I think it's getting better, and I'm really pleased to see this. I think that maybe before it was really expensive to eat in the center, but today I would say you can still find decent restaurants in the center that have decent prices and the quality is good.
The people who go on your tour, why do they want this experience? Why do they want to be brought to particular places? Why can't they just go themselves, like most tourists, and just find whatever they find, or use a guidebook?
Well, actually, some of these places they would probably not find themselves because they are not in the guidebooks. They are really local places, and also because we add some, we put some added value to the tour. So we just talk to them about the history of Czech cuisine and why we eat these foods, how we prepare them, and how it changed throughout the years. And we have also some, we call them digestion stops on the way. So these are some interesting things. For example, we talk about David Černý and his artwork. So these are some things that if they just walk in town, they are not going to find out.
Also, one thing about Prague, there are so many restaurants that seem to exist in the city centre only for tourists. And nobody would ever go twice to these places. Mm-hmm. There are so many terrible restaurants in Prague.
And it's surprising that they can survive, because today there is like TripAdvisor and all this, and apparently they can still exist.
My final question is, your company isn't the only company doing this kind of service, as far as I know. There are others doing food tours, there are others doing other kind of tailored insider tours. Why do you think today this is becoming a popular trend?
I think it's something that is more global, that it's not only in the Czech Republic, that it's probably in the whole world, that there are food tours that are just coming up. And maybe it's because it's linked with globalization, because everything is becoming so international. So it's harder to find the real local experience. And yeah, and people are looking for this because it's not so easy to find it, and it's something that is more authentic, and it gives some special, special experience to their visit, to their stay in Prague.
Mirka Charlotte Kostelková of Eating Tours Prague, and that edition of One on One by Ian Willoughby brings us to the end of our English language broadcast. If you have any comments about today's programme, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Franková. Thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.